Bringing hope to the hopeless, faith to the faithless, and love to the broken, everyone is welcome at the Revival Center, located at 1609 Tommy Webb Drive, Meridian, Mississippi. Just come as you are. For the next 30 minutes, get ready to be ministered to and touched by an anointed man of God, Brother Charles Pierce.
I've been to places, talked to people, but I've never seen a graveyard, especially a tomb, that's had once our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in it here. I've never been to any other state that's ever had the site or the place that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was put. Well, for the Holy Ghost. But God's begin to talk to me. And I'm going to do my best in Jesus' name to preach you the gospel. That maybe the world won't preach you, not to hurt you, but with love. Divine Holy Ghost love. I remember when we first went to Israel, and we went down the River of Jordan, but we also went to the Garden of the Tomb. I remember, first of all, we landed at Tel Aviv. You ask me, why am I telling you all this? Because sitting over here, I begin to see what's left that Jesus left behind for us to know. I believe the tomb. But I first went to Cairo. That's over in Egypt. I first got to see the pyramids, the seven wonders of the world. I also got to see Cairo, the museum. I won't go into any mystic, any scary, spooky stuff. I'm just going to talk to you about Jesus. I hope. But I went into that museum. I'm not going to talk to you about dreams or visions. I'm going to talk to you about the Word. If I wander off on it, say, Brother Pierce, I'll just obey God. But I went to those seven wonders of the world, and I don't know how they built those big pyramids way before thousands of years ago. They're so big. It's so monstrosities. It's got to do with the Word. Just hold on. I never thought in my mind that I would ride the camels and that I would, that's right. And I'd watch a camel that a lady got on and her husband, that the camel went down on his knees. He couldn't get up. Just mathematics. But I remember the time that there was called Hell's Gates, or Hell's, in other words, you go up to this certain place, and you go down the shaft, and you go straight down. You had about this much of all those tons of stone down there, and then across to the side, and there is a so-called a tomb. Then there's another shaft that goes up to, looks like they say, the North Star. It points. But down in that place, I saw some wonders. I saw some wonders. You can go to St. John 1. And let's start with 1, and we'll go to 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth chapter. Down in that shaft, over to the side, was a place they say that maybe one of the pharaohs had been buried. I don't know. I just know one thing, I wanted to get myself out of there. All that was great. But I'm going to tell you something. When we came back, And we went to the Garden of the Tomb. I didn't see the clothes. I didn't see the napkin that went across his face. I didn't see the two angels that Mary, I believe, one of the ladies outside crying, she looked in, she saw two angels in St. John 20. I didn't see them. And they said, now you can step in to this tomb. And you can lay on where Jesus had laid. It's assumingly. I thought, Lord, that may be holy. Real holy. Oh, that's great. I did not see the stone rolled away. I saw the track, but the stone was no longer there. I saw the 1,000-year-old. How do we know? I'm going to put that the title of this message. How do we know? How do you know? How do you know that you're God, the Son of God, but God manifested in flesh? It was God took upon flesh, covered with flesh, called the Son of God, but God manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And it became spirit again, but it was supernatural. It had a body. How do you know? If you go to St. John 1, now we can go to the Gospel of John, the G Gospel, or we can go to the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Then you might go to the book of Revelation, because John wrote all those books. Now those three books were not really, should I say, they were not just books that you would take aside. They were books of exhortation. I want to tell you this. Are you listening?
Yes.
I want to tell you this. I want to tell you this. Every one of them had, do you know who he is? Do you know who you are? Do you know about the kingdom? Do you know about resurrection? Do you know about the supernatural power of God? I never knew much about this until I started studying it. Hallelujah. Now hold on. We find in the first four verses of the first chapter of 1 John. Do I have to read it? 1 John. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's the four verses. Then we'll go to the third chapter. Then we'll go to the fifth chapter. Because they're all going to align into a perfect harmony for us to sing in the Spirit of God and to have revelation. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have held of the word of life. Now this is the first verse. Let's say it like this. This is the five senses of a man, of a human being. Touch, taste, smell, hear, see. Five senses. That's of the flesh. We have touched him. We have seen him. We've heard him. Because you remember St. John 20 says, Thomas said, I will not believe until I put my hand in his sides, until I feel of the hand, the scars in his hands and the scars in his sides. I will not believe that he is resurrected. Hallelujah. Resurrection is a strong word. And I watched my sister, she's praying. I thought, God, she's coming back to God. Not that you're gone from God, but you're being resurrected. Hallelujah. Because you know we can't live like this. We've got to have a resurrection every few minutes. We need a resurrection every morning. We need a resurrection at breakfast. We need a resurrection in the middle of the day. We need a resurrection when we go to night, bed at night. Because Satan's out to destroy you. 1 John is a good book. Matthew, Mark, look at John. But the hallelujah is so powerful. And I may get a little radical here. I better be calmer down. They said, we got to touch him. I'm jumping back and forth to St. John 20 to 1 John, the first chapter and the first verse. And it says this, For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was the Father, and was manifest unto us. Manifest to us. At which we have seen, and heard, and declared unto you, that ye also may have fellowship. Oh, say that word, fellowship. Fellowship. It's saying, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. This is the word of God, thus saith the Lord. That we might have I'm not tricking you. You can read it in the Word. I'm not trying to bypass anything. We're going to go line upon line, precept upon precept, and read it just like it said it. Is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy, say joy. Joy. Fellowship. Say joy. Joy. That your fellowship. Some of you ain't saying a word. That your fellowship with the Lord. That your communication with God. Should be with joy. Maybe full. Yes. In other words, you got something that ain't full because we don't have the joy or the fellowship we need with each other, maybe. This then is the message that which we have heard of him and declare to you that God is light. Oh boy. Now we're finna get in that light stuff. I'm talking about L-I-G-H-T, light. Come on, somebody say light. Light. God is light. Raise your hands. And we're going to do some secret talking in a few minutes that you ain't going to use a word one. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. What's this? It's hard to make the devil want to get out or run anywhere or shout. Light. Read it. Study it. I stayed up all night studying. And the nights before, and the weeks before. Not because Brother Hollis is teaching, but he sparked some word in me. And others, but he especially. All right. That we might have some darkness at all. Have fellowship with him. Walk in darkness. And not walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. In other words, you will not fellowship with it. But if we walk in the light, now if we walk in the light. Now I'm gonna get to three things: light, life, and love. Light, life, and love. And in the light, in him is no darkness. He is the light of the world. So if he's like that, we should be like that. But so much has got us bound down. We'll get into that. Maybe. That we can't see the light. Hallelujah. We can see what tradition teaches, but can we see what the power of God and the Spirit of God, for the light of God shines in the dark places, and behold, there becomes light. All right. Walk in light as he is the light. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. But you got to, you're going to have fellowship after that blood's applied. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, not working. If we confess our sins, now see, God wants to forgive us, but some folks want to hang on to it, maybe. He is the faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we have made a lie. We are made a liar, and the word is not in us. Now, you got an interpretation. I know you have. You want to debate about it? Debate about it. I'm just saying, Lord, I just want your word. Lord, I can't go to heaven with sin in my life. But I'm come to you, Lord, to have fellowship and to have joy. That's why you was at the altar a moment ago. You was at the altar because you knew that you had to connect back, like, and get yourself at least sensible enough to think upon these things in Philippians 4. And I believe it says, think upon these things, it has a good report. And if you think your own self unhappy, and a mind is a very powerful thing, but we look at the light, we look at the life. Your life really matters. It says life in him has no death. Now, some people take that to extreme. I'm going to live forever in this flesh. I've seen people years gone by preaching the gospel that says, I don't believe you're ever going to die. Well, I waited around, they died. There may be some still saying that. We're going to die one day, but hey, if we die in Jesus Christ, it's a resurrection. He's light. He is, should I say, he is life. Do this. And he's love. That makes it too. He is what? He's light. He's life. I mean, it goes to the heart. Then he is love. I got it. He's life. Life and love. Thank you, Sister Spears. See, I have to get myself together here. Come on, what he is? Hey, see, it's going to teach you something. In him, there's no darkness. Right. Sister, brother, not Sister Trey, Brother Trey. At least I can talk to my grandson. I forgot y'all's name the other. That's what the first First and second of First John talk about the light. The second one, and three to 429 is light, love, life and love. You got the third chapter, it goes into, I would say, life. Then it goes down to 340. In other words, 349 or the 420. It's close. You got the fourth chapter and the fifth chapter has got to do with the last one. That is got to do with love. Love. Life. Light. Should I say life? Love, life, and light. Did I miss you up? Did I mess you up? Come on, can you sit? We're going to learn something here. I'm going to learn it. Yeah, and love, love. Come on, brother. Is that too simple for us to do? Now, you see, I'm not that smart. But I know he's the light of the world. I know that he is alive. And that he loves me. Wish I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. You're sitting here today wondering, have I pictured everything in St. John 20 or in the Word of God that really belongs to me? We've been told that our miracles and the power of God can't move or be saved. But we look at the scripture. We find that Mary had lost all hope. She stayed up most of the night after they crucified Jesus and stayed at the tomb as long as she could. Roman soldiers was put around that tomb and a seal was put on it. But God sent an angel. And that angel light. That angel didn't have to say nothing. Because his word had already spoken. I've been there 3 days, but I'm coming out. I don't know what your promise has been spoken to you through the written word. Through the Logos and through the Rhema. But I know the divine power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, still speaks in this word. And I said, Lord, Lord, have mercy upon my soul. You see, the essentials of having faith in who God really is, he's holy man and he's holy God, but he was manifest. That's what the book of John is trying to tell us, that we need to know that in him and in us and in the being of faith of the scripture, it all dwells. It all should, we should see him as he is. See, John saw one thing, but they saw the same scene. Peter was a little fat, maybe. He saw something else. But he saw the same thing, but he didn't see distinctively. Like you'd see, there is a napkin over here, there is a shoe over here, or there is a rod over here. He just got a broad scope. Now the Greek words for seeing is got about 50 different translations. So I believe John specifically saw things that he named out that Peter didn't see. Every one of you can see things differently. But Mary's dreams was crushed. Do you know? Do you really know who Jesus is? Do you know that the Christ that died for you, Jesus, the fleshly body, the godly fleshly body that had to give up life, had blood in it, it became sin for us? Do you know? Hallelujah. That the light of the world, he was the light of the world, but he became more light of the world as he came back as a supernatural body. Yes. the essentials. If you today did not have water, your body is made up about 80% of water. Come on, come on. The Bible said, be ye filled with the Spirit. In other words, we misinterpret this many times, I think. But don't be drunk on wine, where it says it is excess. It's not meaning to wobble and to wibble. It means have a firm, stable mind that you can make firm decisions in the power of God. It doesn't mean you got to run all over this house and fall down on the floor and shake and bake. Maybe I'm wrong. If you do that, do it in God. How do I know? Sister Karen, Church, Brother Hollis, Sister Pierce, another Sister Pierce. After living for God, I hope. I really do. And preaching messages and praying for so many sick people. How do I know? Because if you'll read this scripture, that you know, I put it here. Hearing and seeing, because all my senses is at work. He says, how do you know? What need to know? What do we need to know? What is what? Person of Jesus. The words of Jesus. What he did. Big question. We have fellowship, moments to counsel you, pointing things out. Need to know. Joy is there. For whatever is there, I know that I know. You heard that? I know that I know. Do you think John knew? Do you think John knew after he saw the resurrection, empty tomb, and saw that glory of God, the Shekinah, it was gone, but it was there. An empty tomb, it had taken several men to push back that stone. I hope that this rings a bell with you. We need to know, hallelujah, that we know why we are who we are. You say, well, I got the Holy Ghost, got baptized in the name of Jesus. Hey, you need to know why you got that. You need to know why and how. The Word of God said, I'll heal your bodies. I'll work a miracle on you. We need to know that we know that God's done it. God can do it. God will do it. I was listening to a man of God, I believe, that was telling a story about going to college and taking one of the most high subjects on mathematicals, equations. And he took these studies, and the professor and the guy that was teaching called a professor. He was more than a professor, but he was a very hard person to get graduated under. I break it down to our language. And all the students, he said, if you pass this test, he said, it's going to be a miracle. That's what he told his students. He said, if you pass this test, this mathematical equations, it's going to be a miracle. Well, this one guy, all of them went home, went to their dormitories, and they began to study. And one guy said, I stayed up all night long. He said, I redid it, and I did it, and I looked at it, and I got the formula, and I got this, and I got just like his book said. He had a book out. He said, I did it just like the book said. So I went back with the rest of the students.
You have been listening to Pastor Charles Pierce of the Revival Center, located at 1609 Tommy Webb Drive, Meridian, Mississippi. Pastor Pierce and the Revival Center would like to invite you to attend service Sundays at 2 p.m., Tuesday prayer at 10 a.m., and Wednesday night at 7 p.m., or contact us at 601-693-9879, or go to www.kingdompeace.org.